You're listening to episode 68 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, the only CES review that matters. So obviously last year we were doing the same thing we did last year, which is basically ignore the tablets. Bunch of tablets came out this year. Nothing differentiated itself. There's just tons of different shape sizes, a couple different operating systems, different versions of Android, but nothing that caught my attention, nothing that seemed to catch anybody else's attention. Just, there's a lot. Everybody was showing off their almost to market products. Which is cool. You're allowed to do that. There's a couple of PC stuff that came out. NVIDIA there with their Project Shield. This is kind of cool. It's a NVIDIA, the graphics
Project Shield.
Different type of shield. The GPU company, the guys that make super cool graphics processors. Mm-hmm. And actually, they make the Tegra 3, which is what powers the Samsung Galaxy 3. So they really do cool chips. They basically are building a dedicated handheld game. It's got like a clamshell lid. It's got like a cool thing. It's basically designed to be this like super high-end, high graphic performance handheld player. The problem is it's not called a Nintendo Game Boy, so it's probably not going to sell that well. But I hate to break it to you guys. And this isn't even like, you know what,
so
I feel bad.
That's just funny. It's not called a Nintendo Game Boy, so it's probably not going to sell.
Well, it's one of those
it's
things.
So
where it's
so true.
Yeah, it's completely unfair. I get it. And yeah, okay, the Sony PSP sells all right. Yeah, but it's like dismal. They're always disappointed with the sales of the PSP. The only reason why they're not.
The problem is you need to target the little kids, because if it's an adult, they have a smartphone.
Exactly.
Nintendo is amazing at that, and
Nintendo is suffering at the hands of the smartphone revolution. So it's like it really is one of these. Like, this is cool. It's great that it's like, congrats, guys! You brought this like awesome piece of hardware. I hope people buy it because I don't see a lot of that going on. But at the same time, it's very cool. I'd like to play with it because these sorts of things are fun. But I don't see a big thing for them coming, except that it's the first shot across the bow, moving from CPUs and GPUs into full-blown hardware, where they do all-inclusive hardware. They do cases, RAM, screens, batteries, and they do everything, which is a big deal. That to me, it's a much bigger deal that NVIDIA is obviously now getting serious about the fact that they don't just want to be a component supplier. They want to be like Samsung. Yeah, we build chips for everybody, but we can build a better phone than Samsung can, because not only do we have the latest Tegra chip, but we've got everything else that has to go with that. And they do more integrated stuff, which really could set them apart in an Android ecosystem. Obviously, they care about video games, as they've always done, graphic processing units, and so that's where they're starting, because that's their bell horn. But I think that this is really it's a bellwether event, in that it's going to tell you. I don't know, is that the right term, bellwether event? I just used that phrase, and it sounded right, but.
What are you trying to say with it?
It's like the first indicator of what's to come. Bellwethers any given serves. No,
it's
totally
the
wrong.
Leading sheep of a flock.
There we go. That's what I meant. That's actually okay. Totally, it's the bellwether
an indicator
event.
Or predictor of something.
Yeah, exactly. It's the bellwether event of something more that's coming from NVIDIA, and it's this move that I think you're going to see really paralleled with what's going on with Valve, where Valve is going to move into their Steam box and
hardware.
This idea that guys that had never really done hardware before or complete hardware are going to get into the hardware game. And once again, this is because Apple changed the game with the iPhone. They showed that you could do that and that it's immensely
in 1984.
Profitable.
I said in 1984.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, well, No, it was Microsoft taught everyone that you should specialize. And then, like you said, in 2007, Apple was like, well, or really it was with the iPod, they were like, well, actually, you could do both successfully.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, things matured enough where you went, oh, we actually could. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. NVIDIA.
Yeah.
Project Shield. I was really hoping that had to do with the event.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they'll do something with it because it's pretty cool. It just seems right. And then the other thing that kind of was the other big topic that was kind of kicking around CES, that just wasn't that exciting, was damage control. So there was all sorts of new cases out there, like people trying to figure out how to waterproof your device. Nothing that I thought really like made a big difference. Corning Gorilla Glass 3 is coming out, which is kind of a big deal because Corning Gorilla Glass is used in basically every device nowadays that has glass. So they're doing crazy good, and they openly admit it's Steve Jobs was the dude that turned them around because they went from nobody.
Which is kind of awesome.
It is kind of awesome because they basically went from like nobody cared about them to Steve Jobs walking into their office and saying, look, I want to use your stuff. I want to mass produce it. I want to build it into the iPhone. And back when they thought the iPhone was going to be 1% of the cell phone market, and that was like their big goal.
I mean, it reminds me of, of HP and Bill and Dave in the garage, right? HP openly admits that it was Disney's first purchase that put them on the map and got them started.
Right, and exactly.
And HP, similar, or Disney, same thing. They went, we want the best oscilloscopes in the world, and we hear that you guys make them, figure it out. You know,
right.
We'll buy from you.
And they figured it out.
Cool,
so,
they're off
yeah.
and running.
Yeah, and that's which is cool.
So
it's
that's
exciting.
Awesome. You know, yeah. So there's a soft spot in my heart for that story. I love that they're being successful now.
Yeah, exactly. So that's pretty cool. Another cool little piece of technology that popped up early in the week, the first 1 terabyte jump drive, thumb drive.
Oh, I saw that.
USB drive or whatever people call them.
The Kingston Hyper Predator, terabit.
Costs like $600, but it's a terabyte jump drive. Don't send it through the washing machine. It's ridiculous, but that's so much data in a thumb drive. That's one of those ones that is just like, that's just a sign of the times. Holy cow, data's getting small. Makes me wonder why I only have 64.
Or big, in the sense that you got to have one of those bad boys.
Right, that's good. Well, they're hand in hand, right? They're symbiotic. You need a big one because there's big amounts of data out there. And on the flip side, there's an expansion of the size of files because there's so much, the space is so cheap.
Right.
And so portable. But it does make me wonder why I don't have a terabyte hard drive
better
in my iPhone.
Seriously, right? Because the price.
Right, that's exactly
what it
is.
And Apple, doesn't cater towards hoarders. They're like, just put it on iCloud, done. We'll charge you $24 a month. It'll be easy.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, you don't care if you lose your phone. You just hit the reset button and it re-downloads.
Exactly. They're like a Google. Google doesn't really care about this stuff either because they're like, why aren't you just storing it in your Google account?
Yeah. So I guess I'm going back on it. Maybe this isn't so cool. Yeah. Congratulations. It's awesome. It's a feat. But who cares?
I guess that's kind of my point. Is that it's as a piece of technology of how much data you can store and how small of a space, it's very cool. But from a consumer's perspective, it's kind of useless because that's not the trend. The trend right now is storing your photos online, storing your videos online, and...
Still want it.
Right, me too. It's because I love this stuff. And then Lego released their third generation Mindstorm. They had some cool devices out there. One of the big things that they were really pushing, though, is that there are programming apps for your iPhone and Android phones. You can wirelessly control all of your Mindstorm Lego sets, like, natively off of your phone. So there's no more hacking and garbage to try to remote control your Lego stuff, which is very cool. I'm a very big fan of that. As I'm a long-term hardcore fan of Lego.
That is very cool. I like the stuff that Lego is doing.
Yeah. And yeah, definitely.
That's pretty cool. I'm just watching. It's a scorpion. Is that what that demo is?
Yeah, got like
you
a scorpion.
Walk around and control.
Like a snake and stuff. Yeah. It's cool. That's sweet, I'm excited for it. And
if I had kids, I'd totally get them those toys. You know, because I fundamentally think that kids should learn how to program in addition to math and reading, just because that's the way the world's going. And if you can combine that with something like Legos, this tactile thing that you can, you know, learn how to build and then program how to do things on top of that, I mean, they can have some pretty awesome lessons.
I couldn't agree with you more on that point.
That's cool.
Yeah, definitely. So
they showed this at CES, or they, like, they're making
it? They announced it on, like, Monday. I guess I was like...
Oh, let's see here. They're making it the second half of 2013, and it'll be $350. Done.
Right.
I have kids, so I'm not going to buy it, but I will.
Yeah. But it basically just got swept up in the storm of CES coverage.
The entire time.
Yeah, exactly. It's awesome.
Oh, let me show you how to do this. Oh, you're doing it wrong.
Come here. Yeah, come on. Just go to your program like this. Just watch.
Do your homework.
Go to bed.
I'm just making sure it's still working, that's all.
Exams. And so the last big one that I wanted to kind of get into was the first truly open phone operating system, Ubuntu for the phone, Ubuntu OS. Mm. And what's really kind of cool about this is it's basically just Ubuntu with a... that can work on phone hardware. Like, it runs Ubuntu programs, your desktop versions of it, which, for those of you who don't know, Ubuntu is a form of Linux, the free open version of Unix developed by Linus.
I've tried it.
Whatever his name is. And with the penguin. So it's really cool. And what's exciting about it is it's like, there was, you know, Google was always trumpeted as the big guys, the open architecture. You could do anything on ours. In the same way that Microsoft is billed as the open architecture, you can do anything on ours. And then Linux, you know,
no,
Ubuntu
is Microsoft
and
doing that? I missed that.
Well, but I mean, originally with Microsoft, with Windows, Windows 95. Oh, okay. It's like,
gotcha.
We're the better alternative because any hardware, any software, it works on our platform. Ubuntu has always come in and said, no, actually, we're the first true open architecture. And what's cool about it is, and the reason why this is important is not because you'll ever buy an Ubuntu phone. You probably never will.
You're right.
Just embrace that.
But I like it.
I would say, but one of the things that has always been true with Linux is it has been on the cutting edge of different types of technology. Stuff gets pushed forward there because it's a big community of people that work on it, develop for it, and build the next big thing. And it's always been sort of this cutting edge of figuring out how to make different technologies work. And that's why people go with it, is because it's incredibly flexible, although not always stable. And that's definitely the feeling that I get from this phone. But one of the big things that they really were pushing on this was the idea of it's not a phone in so much as it's a phone. It's really a computer with a touchscreen that fits in the palm of your hand. And it plugs into your monitor, it plugs into a keyboard, it plugs into a mouse. But because it runs a full version of Ubuntu and can run all your desktop applications, it is a full version of... It is, you plug it into your computer, and it runs like a computer. And the thing is that it's... Linux is notoriously... Not notoriously, but famously... low resource requirements. It can run very well on underpowered hardware. And so basically this is like an underpowered computer. It's like a 5-inch screen. The thing is huge. So it's got a pretty decent chip in it.
Oh, man.
And basically what this is like the first time where, you know, we all talk about the idea of the laptop and desktop paradigm is going away. You're not going to have those anymore. You'll just have your phone. It'll connect to your server and you'll plug it into your little docking station. And all of a sudden you'll have your big screen TV and your keyboard and mouse. And you won't actually have a desktop anymore. All your processing power, your entire computer, will go around in your pocket, and it'll have a touchscreen on it if you need to access it on the go.
I feel like I remember a certain Canadian CEO saying that that was the future and that RIM was leading the way on that.
Yeah, so everybody knows that that's the future. That's not a big secret. People have been saying that forever. What is a big deal about it is this is the first piece of hardware that's actually doing it, and doing it in a way that doesn't compromise whatever. You know, you can't really do that with the iPhone because there's no alternative. Or you can kind of do that with the iPhone. You have to get the special HDMI dock, and then you get like a wireless keyboard, and you can type. But you still need to navigate on your phone, and it's not designed as a full blown operating system. You've got the Windows 8, which is this is like what it's supposed to be. It's everything without the compromises, except that it's gigantic and nobody likes it, and it's too sluggish to actually run, and It's a full-blown tablet. You've seen some Android phones where they have like a docking stations where you literally dock it into your computer and you plug it in it's like a clamshell that basically just a screen and a keyboard. You plug the phone into the back and now you've got a full-blown laptop, except it's running Android and there's no desktop applications for Android. So it's like there's all these caveats that things don't work. Well, this is the first one where we've got an Ubuntu OS, we've got all the touch stuff, you download your apps, it runs these apps with your touch interface, but it also runs the desktop version of it, so it actually all the Linux applications, all your word processors, data processors, everything that we've already established as a working ecosystem is there. It works. Everything that you need.
That's pretty awesome.
And so it's one of those things where it's like, once again, I say, nobody's ever going to buy this. But what they're going to do is they're going to figure out what will it actually look like to have a completely portable computer where your computer sits in your pocket, it connects to the cloud, and it can manage all these different user interface styles. That's what's a big deal about this, and it's very exciting. I think it's really, really cool. And I famously said that that stupid Palm operating system, WebOS was going to be the Linux of the mobile operating system, and turns out that I think even when we had that discussion, you were like, I think Linux is just going to be the Linux of the mobile operating system, which, yeah, is pretty much what happened. And the weird part was, is how do you build a piece of hardware that can actually do it? Because it's not like traditional hardware in that you just buy all the different components, put it together in a box. You have to build a single piece of hardware that can do it. But what's really great is everybody runs the Unix kernel, which is what Ubuntu runs off of. So all of the hardware, RAM and different registers and all the processors, are closely related. So you can buy off the shelf, quote unquote, parts. As an original engineering manufacturer, you can build off the shelf parts from Samsung and Nvidia and all these different companies. And you can buy screens and you can put them all together into a package that you can sell. And so you can build this operating system for phones. Very, very, very cool. And I'm excited.